Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless. John chapter 5, and then we'll read over into the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, and then lastly, our text this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. So if you've got those places marked, I want to invite you to stand with me if you're able to, and we'll read the word of the Lord together. John chapter 5. Now this is Jesus. He's speaking to a group of religious leaders, some no doubt Pharisees, Sadducees. Nonetheless, they were Jews and devout Jews, Orthodox. And we come to verse number 39. Jesus speaking here, he says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." Let's look over here at 2 Kings. Chapter 6. And let's begin here, that we may see this miracle. Verse number 18. Let me back up and read a few verses to kind of help set the stage for this. Let's read verse 14. "Therefore sent he thither horse and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." Look with me at verse number 18. "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the city, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. Came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, When he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Israel came no more into Israel, the land of Israel." And now let's close with the final reading in 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says in chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our ways unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Look with me at the next chapter, and I'll read just a few verses more, and we'll pray. Verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. I want to look this morning on a thought here concerning brotherly love. It's interesting when we see the Apostle Paul write, this is his very first epistle, by the way, 1 Thessalonians, and he's writing from Corinth. And he's writing to this capital city of Macedonia. Now, this story that's taken place in Thessalonica during his second missionary journey took place in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and 17. And what we find is that Paul was traveling through Galatia at the beginning of his second missionary journey on foot this time, leaving Antioch and going through on foot, coming through Derbe. In Lystra, he picks up young Timothy. Him and Silas and Timothy continue on into Antioch, Poseidon. And they make their way to the place of Troas, hearing and seeing the vision of God concerning the Macedonian call. They go over into Macedonia, Paul being directed by the Holy Spirit on three occasions not to go up into Asia. I find it interesting here in our reading, even as Paul has alluded to the fact that his desire is to see these Thessalonican believers. But he's not going to go unless God has given the green light. And so unless the Lord has given direction, he's not going. So we can learn right off the bat that I thank God for those that are led and controlled by the Spirit of God. But the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, some very important and amazing, profound scriptural truth concerning the Lord's Spirit and His children and His people. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then in like manner, in chapter 9, the Bible says in the latter part of verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so it's plain to me tonight that the common denominator amongst all believers, whether we're red, yellow, black or white, is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And so we find whether we're in a village somewhere on the upper headwaters of the Jacquidana River, or whether we're here in Alexandria, North Carolina this morning, that the common bond, no doubt, is Jesus Christ, and that union is united together by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And it is not that we tell God that we're saved, but that it is that God and His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And so I appreciate the Lord and His kindness through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul here is writing to this church. Now, he's been in Macedonia. When he arrived in Thessalonica, he preached and declared the gospel. There was a great moving of God. Not a few of the devout Jews and those that were in and around the synagogue, these Greeks that were proselyte Jews, they had believed in Jesus. Now the other Orthodox Jews, the devout ones that had envy and strife. They rose up against Paul, and he soon left Thessalonica. There was some persecution in the house of Jason, and it caused a lot of uproar in the church, in this new plant and these new believers. And so Paul leaves and goes southwest to a place called Berea. There in Berea, you'll find that there were other Jews. These specific ones studied the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily. And so they also received the Lord Jesus as Savior. There were several swept through the kingdom of God that day and saved by the grace of God. And then in like manner, there rose up other things that were contrary to Paul. And those same devout, striving Jews from Thessalonica came to Berea, stirred up some trouble. Paul is left alone, goes to Athens, from there, Corinth, and then he is reunited once again with Timothy and Silas here in Corinth. And he no doubt has a report and is able to understand and conclude to what some of the issues the churches was facing. They had some questions concerning whether they would see their loved ones in the last day, concerning the resurrection, concerning the Lord's coming. And so Paul was able to discern through the Holy Spirit of God, by inspiration of the Lord's Spirit, that there was an underlying issue that caused this troubled heart, that caused this these questions spurring concerning the resurrection. And even though they searched the scriptures, even though that they were believers that were ready to believe every word from Paul as the very word of God, they mimicked Paul. And so they had this atmosphere around them that was very Pauline, that was very go forward, that was to prove from the word of God that Christ is the Son of God, and to be bold about it, and to not be afraid, not to be ashamed of the gospel. And so they had gone in other areas surrounding them, proclaiming and preaching, propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul had heard about this. This excited him. And on many occasions, when he had heard it's listed there in chapter 1, he gave thanks to them always for making mention in our prayers. He remembered without ceasing their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. And so there was hope involved, there was faith involved, and there was love involved. You know, when Paul wrote Corinthians on that well-beloved chapter 13, speaking specifically of love, we know that the last speaking of faith and love and hope or charity, rather, he said the greatest of these is charity or love. And so they were showing all three attributes of a church that was founded right. They were showing all three characteristics of a very prominent, thriving, lively, life-filled church.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time that you've heard me pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. I hope and pray it's been a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 2237, Blairsville, Georgia, 30512. Thank you. May God bless you.